and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and we are in the later parts of June this year. The weather is finally starting to warm up around here in Florence, South Carolina. Well, let's just get into it. There's a few things happening right now in the news. We've heard that this submarine full of rich people went down to see the Titanic and it imploded. And they passed away. and there's been a lot of discussion of why is the Titanic something that people want to see? Why does anybody care? The fact that there was a whole bunch of rich people on this submarine, I guess you call it a submarine. It opens up the idea of, if money weren't an issue, what would you do with that money? Someone was a good salesman. Someone went after it. Someone said, hey, listen, I've got an idea of how you could spend your money. Why don't you go see this thing that not many people could see? Here's your opportunity to use your affluence and wealth to not make society better or help anyone, but to just do the thing that nobody else could do because you're extremely rich and you can blow this kind of money on doing this experience. And I'll be honest, some people have a morbid curiosity. There are people out there whose greatest enjoyment in life is to go to places where tragedy is. That's why there is a tour that goes through houses that have been known to be serial killer houses. There are tours of cemeteries taking you inside of, you know, here's a whole bunch of dead people, and here's this person dead, and here's this person dead. And there's a business for it because people have a morbid curiosity. Chernobyl. Chernobyl's doing tours right now. People want to go see what happened. You know, James Cameron come out with a movie, Titanic. When it came out, everybody's like, we need to go see it. I was like, I don't care to see it. It was a tragic time in history. And we kind of know what happened. I mean, to me, the point of a movie is to not know what happened and then be surprised, right? But I went into it watching the movie Titanic with my then girlfriend and said, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but I don't think the ship makes it. She's like, just come on. I heard it's great. I was like, okay, whatever. So if you're rich and you just have a pile of money and you just want something to do, I'd say, you know, get on the internet and ask anybody if they want help paying off their house. I mean, that's a cool thing to do. Probably won't die from it. Might get a lot of enjoyment from it, might help people out. You could start up a foundation, you know, feeding the homeless, or I don't know, housing the homeless, or giving out food to children who need it. There's lots of things you could do with your money rather than doing something elitist, like get on someone's homemade submarine and travel to the depths of the ocean to try to see a ship where a bunch of people tragically lost their life. Yeah. So here's the story. I said all that to say this. When I was a young man, younger man, I decided that I wanted to go into the military. I had decided that the Army was going to be for me because my granddaddy, Charles Oliver Peak, went into the Army and was a cook during World War II. And I thought, you know, I just need some leadership. I need some direction. I need some structure to my life. I need to know. I have no idea what I want to be when I grow up. I've been to college now for a few years, and I've changed my major 3 times. And I just don't know what I want. And, you know, Rolling Stones has a song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want." I didn't know what I want. What I wanted was something different. What I wanted was something to get me out of this small town and to give me world experience and to maybe start over somewhere different, away from the trappings of what I saw growing up here. And that's a young man's view. That's a young person's view. But it is not without merit. There is some good to getting outside of your comfort zone and seeing the world. As people, a lot of us are designed to be curious and to seek out things outside of our normal realm. And maybe that's what these people did, getting on this tiny submarine and going, let's go see the ship. So anyway, in my discussion of saying that I'm going to go into the Army, I started talking to a guy that I worked with, this guy named Brian. And Brian and I had gotten kind of close in the previous year. We'd gotten to work together a good bit. We started having meals together, going on vacations a little bit together. I call it vacations. We were just going to the beach. Anyway, for my budget then, that was a vacation. He says to me one day, he says, hey, listen, I've been going around and talking to the other recruiters, and I think you should too. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. He's like, no, seriously. He said, you know, I went and talked to the Navy guy the other day and talked to the Air Force guy. And I'm going and talking to the Marine guy today. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Let me know how that works out for you there, idiot. And he come back and he was like, oh man, you wouldn't believe it. You got to talk to this Marine Corps guy. You and him would be buddies. And I was like, okay, sure. Whatever you say, buddy. He's like, no, I'm serious. You can't join the Army and not at least talk to these guys. I mean, come on. You're always telling me to try new things, right? And you know, I was talking about food. He was like, no, the Marine Corps, man. I was like, nah, listen, I knew this guy named Steve that I went to high school with who was real nice. And right after high school, Steve joined the Marine Corps, and I saw him and I was working at a convenience store, and he come in and he looked like a robot. He talked very robotish and he moved like a robot, and it just freaked me out, man. He was like, no, it's not like that, man. It's just, come on, trust me. Let's just talk to him. You know, I'll go with you. I was like, okay, fine. So I went with him. We talked to this guy. And before you know it, I liked him and we started talking more and more and more and more. And before I knew it, I joined the Marine Corps and I got to see the world. I got to go off and see things and experience life out there and know more about myself and all that fun jazz. And it's experience. Okay. So I found direction. I found purpose. I found what I was willing to do or could do, what I wasn't willing to do. You know, you learn limitations and you get to see more of life. And that's good. That's a good thing. I work with a lot of young people now who they now have the ability to get their CDL pretty early. And you have to be 21 with a CDL right now to travel outside of your state, to drive past your state lines. Under 21, you can drive within your state. So there are local places that are hiring people with CDLs. So you can get a CDL as early as 18 years old, and you can drive a tractor trailer. Now, is that a good thing? I don't think so. I think that with age comes experience, and with experience comes knowledge, and with knowledge, you get a little bit safer. Lowering that age does not make it better. I don't know if we'll ever get to a point where self-driving cars will make it easier for the transportation industry to take care of the needs of the society, or if it's going to be one of those jobs that just has to be nurtured in the right way. You know, we've recently seen some things happen on the road in our area that have been disturbing. They've been areas of concern. And I don't know the right fix for it, other than just knowing your limitations and knowing that you have to constantly be on the outlook for people doing the wrong thing. In most cases, it's not our doing. It's someone else's doing that happens. I teach a defensive driving class for tractor-trailer drivers, CDL drivers. And in it, we have a little fun game that we play in the beginning of, you know, hey, there's no wrong answers. Let's go ahead and answer these things. How would you rate yourself defensive driving-wise, and how would you rate other people? And everybody jots down their answers, and for the most part, most people give themselves an average of about an 8 out of 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. And they give other people about a 4 out of 10. And then I go around the room, and it's fun if there's more than one person. You go around the room and you ask everybody, okay, so what did you give? Oh, I gave myself an 8. Oh, I gave myself a 9. Oh, I gave myself a 10. Oh, okay. What would you give other people? Well, I gave them like a 2, a 3, a 5. It averages out always, 8 and 4. So then I go, okay, so you're saying that you're an 8 and he's a 4. Or you're saying that you're an 8 and I'm a 4. Well, how can that be if you gave yourself a 10 and he's a, this doesn't add up, right? Because we all have an inflated sense of self. We all have an inflated sense of what we're doing. We all think we're better than we are. But once in a while, we are that 4. Once in a while, we are the person who doesn't pay attention when we're supposed to. Once in a while, we are the person who goes down and looks at our phone to see what text messages we just got sent. And I wonder, got me thinking, I wonder if these folks that were on this submarine, I don't know how put together it was or what the operation was, other than a bunch of rich folks going, nah, man, we can do it. We can do it. Listen, I've been studying this thing with this guy, and we've been doing it around the cove here, and I'm pretty sure we could go to the Titanic. I mean, how much of that is in there? And, you know, I'll be honest. When I heard the saying of, yeah, a bunch of rich folks were on a submarine, and they went down to see Titanic, and they all died, I thought, ooh, I wonder which ones. Because there's a morbid thing about, you start thinking about certain elitists and you go, I hope they were on it. I mean, not that it's a good thing that people pass away, but there's some people that really hurt other people in their pursuit of money. And in a karmic movie style way, you kind of hope that they're the ones that are on the ship. That if they perish, you go, oh no, that's too bad. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just saying, it's the thing in the movie that you wish that the bad guy gets it. And not saying that people with money are bad, but some people are. Some people really take advantage of other people's misfortunes and either on purpose or inadvertently hurt people in the pursuit of their wealth. And if they were to perish in the process, oh no, that's too bad. Now, how do we fight that? I don't know. Give back. Do philanthropy. Help people that are less fortunate. Help people that are less fortunate become more fortunate. Sort of, you know, focus on what's needed and help people. Not only help people by giving them things. I mean, yes, you do need to give some people things. But help people by helping them help themselves. Give them an avenue. Give them a focus. Give them direction. You know, for me, the military gave me direction. Getting out and getting a CDL gave me direction. Was it the right direction? I don't know, but it was a direction and it kept me fed. Still keeps me fed. We all need purpose. You know, for a long time, purpose was just handed to us as a society, as a people. You're born. Hey, your father owns a shoe shop. Guess what? You're working in the shoe shop. Hey, we have a farm. Guess what your job is? You're a farmer. Now, with options, with the world saying, hey, you could do anything. You could be a lawyer. You could be a doctor. You could be an influencer. You could be an online video game person. I don't know how that makes money, but apparently that makes money. You could be a podcaster. I mean, who does that? But you could do anything. The problem with the statement you could do anything is that you end up doing nothing. I mean, I heard about kids growing up whose parents are like, you are going to law school. You are going to be a lawyer. And then they go to school and they become a lawyer and they hate their parents. And they're like, I can't believe they made me become a lawyer. I'm going to get in my Ferrari and go home. Okay. Hate your parents. Be successful. whatever. At least with money, you have options, right? With education, you have options. Maybe it's a good thing to push your kids towards something. I don't know. But anyway, let's talk about this, because all of this sort of goes into what I wanted to talk about. Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso is a show that's on Apple Plus. It's been on for 3 seasons. They just wrapped it up this year. Jason Sudeikis plays this American football coach, college football coach, who gets a job offer to go coach a Premier League soccer team in England. The owner, Rebecca, ended up with the soccer team in the divorce of her husband, and the soccer team was her husband's favorite thing in life. And her goal in hiring Ted was, I'm going to go hire this guy, and I'm going to run this club into the ground and destroy the one thing that he loves the most, because I'm so angry at him. But Ted is folksy and extremely likable. And they have success, unexpected success, and become friends. And so the show has all these things that I just talked about. It has focus. It has taking a chance. It has getting outside your comfort zone. It is going into the lives of the football players. That's what soccer is called over there, football. Going into the lives of football players, learning about how they were traveling outside of their countries to pursue a goal, to pursue a job, to play a game where they get to entertain and inspire groups of people around the world by playing this game. And as a fan of sports, most sports, I appreciate the fact that it is a game and that it is entertainment and it can inspire us. The reason we're drawn to it is because it makes us look at what the human body is physically capable of. And for a brief second as children, we think of ourselves as those people. We think of ourselves as being capable of doing those things. And as we get older, we realize that there's a separation of greatness and average. There is an ability that certain people have that most of us don't have. You know, I'm 5'8". I cannot dunk a basketball. I was in the Marine Corps with a guy who was 5'8". He could dunk a basketball. And to watch him do it was fascinating. It was worth paying admission to watch him do it. I asked him, I said, how did you get to this point where you could do this? I mean, is it a gift? Is it something that your family has? He says, no. He said, I literally thought your body's a muscle, a whole bunch of muscles, and what a muscle is meant to be. They're meant to be built. And so he hit the gym and he ran stairs and he jumped rope and he jumped boxes back when it wasn't even a thing. Back in the 90s when no one jumped boxes, he had the idea of, I need to make my jumping ability better. And so he started jumping rope with weights and he started running the stairs with weights. And he said, I just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it until I could do it without having to struggle. And I thought, wow, I wonder if I could do that. But then my mind went, yeah, but do you really want it that bad? Because some people are driven to do things, right? I wasn't driven to dunk. I wanted to dunk. I wanted the ability to dunk. I didn't want to do the work to dunk. That's the honesty, okay? That's the thing a lot of people won't tell you. They'll tell you they want things, but they don't want to work for it. They just want to be given it. And there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in that that's given to us through television and movies and books all the time. And some of us pay attention to it, some of us don't. The things you want in life can be achievable, but you have to work for it. And there are certain elements of luck that are involved. Sometimes you have to get outside your comfort zone and you have to live there for a long time in order to achieve your goals. Do you want a job that pays you a lot of money? okay, get on Google, figure out what pays you a lot of money, and then work towards that goal. Do you want a job that allows you to not get drug tested and you can sit around and smoke weed all you want? Okay. Find out what that lifestyle is like. You can go online and figure out, what could I do that doesn't get me drug tested? Do you want to travel the world in your job? Okay. Go online. Figure out, what kind of job is going to give me the opportunity to travel the world? Maybe you'll end up in the military. Maybe you could end up on a cruise ship. Maybe you might be one of those people that volunteers to be a deckhand on a sailboat. I mean, there's people on Instagram that I follow that left their regular job and said, sure, I'll be a deckhand. What do I have to do? And they teach them and they work on a sailboat, much like people did a couple hundred years ago in America. I mean, people still do it other places. It's just unusual for Americans to do it. So anyway, I don't know. I said all that to say this. Go watch Ted Lasso. It's a great series. There's a lot of characters that are warm and fully developed and very interactive with each other. They never lose focus of the story of how they are better together. They never lose focus of the fact that people are greater than they seem, and that you have to give most people more credit than we do because they'll surprise you. And it attacks a lot of the elements of humanity that we struggle with on a daily basis. You get a very stoic character like Roy Kent, who is taught to smile once in a while, have fun, enjoy the moment. Someone like Jamie Tart, who is self-obsessed and has an inflated idea of who he is taught humility and taught to be more of a team player and to think about the fact that even though he is at one point the greatest player on the team, he's not the greatest player. There are other players out there that are better. And in order to be better, he has to work harder. You have different characters that fully come around and realize they were happier doing something that was less of a job in the world's eye. The kit man who leaves and becomes a coach of another team comes back and becomes a kit man again because he is happier. Happiness is defined in different ways by different people. Some people, it's the pursuit of goals. Some people, it's the camaraderie of fellowship of man. Some people, it is the pursuit of family. Some people, it's doing what really makes you happy. And that's sort of the goal. That's the goal of everyone, I think. I mean, once your needs are met, but, you know, we all have different abilities of needs, right? So, I don't know. Were the people that wanted to go see the Titanic's needs met? Probably. Did they think that going and seeing the Titanic would make them happy? I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where, you know, 100 years ago, they would say, oh, I'm going on safari in Africa, because that's what you do when you have loads of money. You go off and you try to hunt the exotic animal and have it mounted on your wall, because that's what you do. And that way you can brag to your friends about what an adventurous, crazy, rich person you are. I don't know. Maybe this is that equivalent. I don't know. If they wanted something that was a challenge, they could do one of those Naked and Afraid shows. Might give them the same amount of fame, but you got a cast and crew there that ain't going to let you die. So, you know, there's that. Could do one of those Hidden Boss shows where you show up at your job and you get to see how horribly your people that work for you are living. And you could decide to do something nice with your money and help them out. That'd be awesome. there's a lot of companies out there that are happy with taking millions of dollars of profit off the top end and allowing their workers, who they claim are their best resource and their best asset, allowing them to barely make it in life or not even make it at all just for that profit. There's a discussion about certain franchises. Let's just say a fast food place, McDonald's. Okay. There's certain fast food McDonald's that pay their people a living wage. Here in America, we have the understanding of, oh no, if you work at McDonald's, that's like an entry-level job. And we sort of all discount that idea. And then we're upset when we go to McDonald's and we have to wait in line for 30 minutes. The burger's nasty and no one's paying attention and no one cares. And so we get mad at McDonald's and we don't go to McDonald's for a while. I don't know. There's something to be said about maybe not taking everything. Ted was really good at this fictional person's job and was quick to give credit where credit was due and to make sure that people knew that it wasn't because of him. In the show, this guy's going to write a book about him, and he says, this is great, but don't name it after me. It's not about me. I like that. On the flip side, Arnold Schwarzenegger has a new show on Netflix that is really inspiring, but it is all about him for a large part. It's called Arnold. It's about his life. Starts off, it's three chapters. First part is about his life in fitness, becoming a bodybuilder, one of the best bodybuilders ever. Coming from Austria, his life, moving to America. And second chapter is all about him in the movies, becoming a movie star, a leading man. Didn't happen by accident. It happened through a lot of hard work, a lot of luck, a lot of help. And then the third part is Arnold in politics. And for a lot of this, he really regales on the idea of when he was younger and on stage and people are chanting his name, Arnold, Arnold. And he was like, yeah. But now he's 75 years old and he's retrospective in life and he has regrets and he's tried to give back and he's tried to change his outside environment as well as himself. And he says all the time that, you know, people talk about, you know, oh, you're so great. You're so great. He goes, I am not great. I've been extremely lucky. I've had a lot of help. It's not about me. And that's the lesson. That's the lesson from all of this, from this podcast, from me, from Arnold, from Ted Lasso, from the Marine Corps. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about all the people that helps. All the people that help us. All the people we're meant to help. Our purpose in life is to give back. Our purpose in life is to help people. That's our greatest joy. That's our greatest difference in the world. Our ability to help people. So, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you to everybody who's listened. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for the comments about last week's episode. I had it taken down off of YouTube for saying some things that they said I couldn't say. So in the world of self-censorship, I had to edit it. The real version is out on podcast form. So, yeah, that's it. Y'all take care now. And as always, Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.